I've often puzzled over why, in a world that is frankly scary enough for me, dystopian stories are such popular fare. Hi, I'm Lisa Morgan, and today on The Weekly Reader, University of Baltimore MFA professor and book critic Marian Winnick has a pair of books to share that offer alternative realities that might just make you grateful for real life, despite its complexities. Hi, Marian.
Hi, Lisa. Kate Christensen fans know that among the pleasures of her novels, we can always expect fantastic descriptions of cooking and eating. One of the central characters of her latest, The Last Cruise, is a European chef who's been hired to help run the kitchen of the Queen Isabella on her last trip to sea, a two-week Pacific voyage designed to evoke the ship's heyday in the 50s. There will be formal dining, classic cocktails, and a string quartet. No internet service, and no one under 16 on board. In addition to the chef's view of the trip from the galley, we also see it through the eyes of Miriam, a member of the string quartet. The pieces they play are described so beautifully that I had to hear them myself. Thank God for Spotify. At the center of the action is Christine, a 30-something from Maine who has left her husband on the farm to travel with her old friend Valerie, a journalist who hopes to write a Studs Terkel-type book about the ship's workers. The book starts out knee-deep in vicarious luxury, drinks by the pool, romance in the air, and no pesky cell phone service to distract the travelers with word from home. Below decks, however, trouble is simmering. The staff of the ship is underpaid and exploited to a criminal degree, and the refurbishing of this boat for her last voyage was only skin deep. A modern Titanic situation seems to be brewing, and you can hardly wait to see what it is. But you have to slow down to enjoy the pleasures of Christensen's writing, the food, the music, and also the psychological insight. Valerie loved renouncing vices, but she equally loved taking them up again, as if this cycle of abstinent virtue and decadent self-destructiveness were a private seasonal rhythm that anchored her in some way. I identified with that sentence so much I wanted to get it printed on a t-shirt. So much plot, so much good writing. How often do we get both? Speaking of disaster and musicians, I've finally gotten around to Station 11 by Hilary St. John Mandel. This much ballyhooed book lives up to all its hype. The book is set 20 years after what is called the collapse. A virulent flu kills most of the world's population, and within a few years, there is no electricity, no gasoline, no government. What there is a symphony orchestra that travels around the former Michigan area in a caravan made of old school buses pulled by horses. They put on Shakespeare plays for the small clusters of people that are left. The symphony has a motto painted on the side of their bus, taken not from The Bard, but from an episode of Star Trek Voyager. Survival is insufficient. As bad as everything already is for the survivors of the collapse, more trouble is on the way, and I'm not telling any more. I listened to this book in audio and very much enjoyed the reading. And did you know that you can take audiobooks out of the library? The reviews of this book were not so great, but then it got nominated for a National Book Award, and since then, it's become a kind of standard by which dystopian novels are measured.
The books are The Last Cruise by Kate Christensen and Station 11 by Hilary St. John Mandel. You can find more information about these titles, links to reviews, and our podcast at wypr.org/programs/weekly-reader. The Weekly Reader podcast is made possible by the Ivy Bookshop. For The Weekly Reader, I'm Lisa Morgan.
And I'm Marian Winnick.